Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Kindergarten Kept Simple. I'm Mariah, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, Zara, who you might know on Instagram from Inspiring Growing Minds on Instagram. So definitely go and give her a follow. I'll put all of that information in the show notes for you. But today we're going to be talking about a really special topic. Zara will be at Camp Kinder with us this summer, and she's going to be talking about culturally responsive pedagogy and what that looks like in kindergarten and why it's so important. And we actually got to know each other just a few months ago at this point because Scholars Choice connected us. And the more I got to know her, the more I was like, you must tell us your story. You must teach us all of the things at Camp Kinder. So today I wanted to have her on to kind of tell us a little bit about her past, her experiences growing up in school, and how that's shaped her as a teacher, so that when you get to her session at Camp Kinder, you have all of this amazing insight into what made her just the very best person to deliver this workshop to you. So without further ado, I will throw the mic over to Zara. You can tell us a bit about yourself, where you are in the world, what you teach, and all that fun stuff. And then we'll dive into the episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Zara. Thank you so much for having me, Mariah. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you.
So a little bit about me. I did my undergrad in early childhood education, and then that led me into teaching. I went on and did my master's of teaching, and I'm currently teaching kindergarten. I live and work in York Region. So I've been teaching in York Region for a few years now. I started off as a supply teacher. I was supplying in both York and Peel regions. And then last year I decided that I wanted to stay closer to home and decided to just do LTOs in kindergarten in York Region now.
Did you always know that you wanted to be a teacher?
Yes. Ever since I was younger. I know that's like your stereotypical thing. Every kid says they want to be a teacher. I was looking at my grade 3 yearbook a few years back, and it said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it said kindergarten teacher.
Oh, so my gosh.
I never grew out of this phase.
That is amazing. I feel like I'm one of the rare people who didn't know that they wanted to be a teacher, even though I'd kind of been involved with teaching my whole life. I was a dance teacher and I taught preschool and whatever, but I didn't know until my roommate randomly applied to Teachers College and I decided to apply too. And it was only when I was filling out the applications that I realized it was something I really wanted to do. And then I didn't even do primary. I was doing junior intermediate. And then when I started supplying, I realized I love kindergarten. Went back and got my primary qualifications and kinder specialist and all that. But yeah, I feel like it's rare that you didn't know since you were a little kid. I think most teachers are like you.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like in terms of grades, you kind of have to get into it to see where you want to be and what you want to do.
Totally. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like for you as a student growing up and the kind of experiences that have shaped you as the educator that you are now, and why culturally responsive pedagogy and inclusivity and all that is so near and dear to your heart?
So I grew up in York Region, and at that time, the school I went to was predominantly Muslim. So I didn't feel like I blended in because we were all Muslim, and it was nice to have people that you could relate to. But when I was in grade 5, we moved to, and at that time, city was predominantly white. There was absolutely no diversity. I think I was one of 3 Pakistani Indian families. And other than that, there was no other diversity. So it was a huge culture shock for me. I didn't fit in. I couldn't relate to them. And I think that really impacted my schooling experience and my confidence because, I mean, I had friends, but I didn't fit in terms of the overall school atmosphere and the teachers. I couldn't relate to them. And I think that's kind of led me to where I am today.
Which must have been such a big difference from your previous experience. So going from one to the other would have been quite a shock.
Yes, exactly. I remember I was in music class in grade 5, and our teacher every Friday would have us, would invite us to bring in a CD with our favorite, remember CDs?
Yeah.
would have us bring in a CD with our favorite song. And at that time, I was like, well, I don't really know any of these songs that these kids are bringing in. And I was too embarrassed to bring in like a Bollywood song or like something that I listen to.
There's definitely more emphasis on inclusion now, because that would have been such a great learning opportunity for everyone in your class if you had felt comfortable to bring in, you know, kind of your own personal taste in music and your family taste in music and your own experiences. And it would have been such a great learning experience and just education moment for everyone in your class.
I agree. And there wasn't that aspect back then. Nobody knew what to do. And it was just, you just followed along what everyone else was doing.
So did you wish that you could, you know, bring up more of your family and your likes and your dislikes and your traditions and all of that at school? Or was it something that you just really tried to suppress?
I tried to suppress it because I felt embarrassed. So my mom also grew up in Canada. But I remember telling her, like, don't pack me any cultural food. I don't like, just make me like a sandwich and that's it. Like, I don't want people to smell our food. And I would be like, I'll be honest, I was embarrassed. I'm like, I'm not going to wear any clothes. I'm like, when you come pick me up, sometimes my mom would mess with me and like blast Bollywood music. And I'm like, no, turn that stuff down. I don't want anyone to hear it. And that it's sad, like thinking back now.
Totally. And there's just, it's hard when you have to hide so many things that are so integral to your everyday life and so important to you, but to feel uncomfortable just being yourself, I can't even imagine how that would just be exhausting on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, exactly. So my grade three teacher, my grade seven teacher, the reason they stood out was, so in grade three, I remember my teacher had a cultural outfit that she would wear for Diwali, she'd wear for Eid. She wanted to celebrate our backgrounds and our heritage instead of pushing it aside. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my grade seven teacher, who doesn't actually even teach here anymore, she homeschools now her children, but she did a whole class project on different celebrations and she wanted me to talk about Eid. And even at that time, I remember I was in a group with two other people and they were trying to convince me to do like a different holiday. And I was embarrassed too. And I'm like, okay, maybe I won't do it. And my teacher kind of pushed me. She's like, no, like we need to teach these kids about your holiday as well. And my mom took us, I remember she took us to our mosque. We did a video with a mosque tour. I made some cultural food. I brought samosas and this cultural drink and taught them all about Ramadan and Eid. And I think it was really special. And that was the first time in like the 4 years I was at that school that I actually felt seen for who I am.
And when you were giving that, was it a presentation you were giving?
Yes.
So did you feel really nervous? Were you proud? What were you feeling when you delivered it?
A little bit of both. I was the shy kid and I like speaking frightened me. So the fact that I'm even here right now shows how much I've grown. So I was definitely scared because I hate talking in front of my class, but then on top of it, I'm talking about myself. And so I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know, kids can be mean and I didn't know how they would react, even though my teacher was honoring and celebrating who I was. I didn't know how the class was going to react. And I think that's what made me nervous.
Totally. So how did they react?
I think they're typical grade sevens. I think we just did the presentation. They enjoyed the food and
you moved that on. Was
it. Yeah, it moved on. But we never really talked about it again afterwards, which is, I think, another big change now that you honor it all year round, not just that one time a year when it happens.
Yeah, and there's a little bit more reflection and intention than just a kind of one-off, we check the box and we're moving on with our curriculum.
Exactly. But I still want to, I'm still like proud of that teacher for doing that because that's still more than what anyone else has done.
Oh, totally. Especially when we're talking, I don't know how old you are, but like maybe 10, 15 years ago into the past, right? It was completely different then. So this would have been like a very big thing at that time, even though now we maybe look back and we're like, that was it?
Yeah, exactly. Because when I remember being in teacher's college and our professors brought this up. Like, you don't want to just honor it once. You want to embed it into your curriculum, into your classroom. Mm-hmm. And I reflected back on that teacher who did only do it once, but even her doing that was like a huge deal 15 years ago.
Right, exactly. So did you ever have any issues with blatant bullying or people making comments about it when you started wearing your headscarf or if you ever brought some food or whatever?
So I never had any big bullying. I always felt a little left out. I did have a small group of friends, but that's like your typical stuff as a child. Like, you know, like, who am I going to play with today? And it was my own self confidence, I think, more than them. Like if I was more of a confident person, I would just fit in more, I guess. But in grade six, I remember, like I can still picture it too, the whole room and everything. We were having a class discussion on a book we had read. I don't even remember what book it was, but somehow the topic of 9/11 came up and I was the only Muslim student in my class. And my teacher put me on the spot in front of everyone and goes, like, maybe you can share with us why 9/11 happened. Oh. And yes, this is 15 years ago. And I didn't know. I'm a child. Like I was in grade six. Goodness. What am I going to say?
That happened.
Yes. I think that was one of the, like, it's something that's really like been embedded in me because it was so like such a terrible experience. At that time, I kind of just let it slide. Like I didn't, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like,
well, what, why would you know?
Exactly. And I remember going home and telling my mom, and she was so upset about this interaction.
Well, and just this blatant racism.
Basically. And this teacher is still teaching as well.
That is truly shocking to me.
Yeah. It was, yeah, I know. When I, if, when I share this experiences with like other colleagues and educators, they can't believe this happened.
No, I mean, you're just a child. I cannot imagine treating any student like that in any circumstance, let alone when there is a worldwide trauma going on that is affecting everyone. So that is really shocking to me. I was not expecting that story today.
No, I know. I kind of forgot about it because I guess it's something I just pushed in the back of my mind. And when I was applying to teachers college, like we were talking, I was reflecting on my teachers and my experiences, and my mom reminded me. But I actually shared this story recently at our staff meeting because we were talking about how we can affirm identities, and our staff has a bit of diversity, but not that much. Mm-hmm. So I shared this story because I wanted them to get the other side. Like, yes, we talk about it, but I think it's helpful to hear someone's personal experience. And I know I remember them being really shocked and they couldn't believe that this happened as well. And later on, I was talking to one of my colleagues and I was like, my mom grew up here in Canada. Like she came when she was five. She knew that was wrong, but I'm like thinking back, I wonder why my mom didn't do something about it, like confront the teacher and the principal. And my colleague just said, like, that's the thing. Like when you're put in that spot, we're afraid to speak up. We don't know what to do. And I feel like that's something that we need to work on changing, on advocating for.
Totally. I'm sure there was lots she wanted to say and wanted to be able to do, but didn't feel comfortable, just much like you didn't feel comfortable in your school environment sharing much about your life. I'm sure she didn't feel comfortable walking in there and, you know, being the parent that she maybe would have wanted to be in a different circumstance. So I think that makes complete sense. And it's sad. And I hope that it's different now and that parents feel like they can advocate for their children when they're wronged. But yeah, I'm sure there's so many stories like that, unfortunately, that are out there from kids who are just like you, and especially around that time of 9/11, I can't even imagine. So you've mentioned quite a few times that you were really shy and you didn't like speaking in front of people. Do you think this had anything to do with the fact that you felt so different from everyone else? Or do you think it's just kind of part of your personality?
I think it was a little bit of both. Because even at my mosques, we would have these like speech competitions and things. And I would literally beg my mom, like, please do not make me go. Please do not make me do this. Because I was just so scared of speaking in front of people. But I think maybe if I did feel a little more comfortable, I wouldn't have mind raising my hand and just sharing an answer at least.
Yeah, there's a difference between like wanting to go out and do speeches in front of a huge crowd of people and feeling comfortable to raise your hand in class and answer a question.
Exactly. Totally. So the presentation wise, it was just me. Like I terrified of public speaking, but I think maybe if I fit in more, I would have felt more comfortable sharing. Because I remember in grade three, and even in grade four, like I wasn't as scared because I felt confident and comfortable in my teaching environment.
Yeah. So it was really only after you changed schools that you noticed that big shift.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. All right. So now that you're a teacher, how do you feel like this has impacted your relationships in the school, your relationships with families, and how you kind of run your classroom?
So I feel like my my own personal educational experiences have kind of shaped the teacher I am today, because I never want any child to feel the way I did then. And I want students to come in and feel reflected and safe in, like, you're supposed to love school. You're supposed to feel safe. And I want all my students to always feel safe in my classroom and the school community. That you want them to feel like represented, that they're being seen, that they have a voice. And I feel like that's my job as an educator to advocate for these. They're little, like, they don't know how to do that, and like kind of guide them and advocate for them.
Do you find that overall it's been kind of easy to do that for you, almost like a second nature, or do you have to consciously think of ways to make sure that you're being inclusive of everyone in your class?
I think a little bit of both. So I volunteer to be my school's equity designate because I'm really passionate about the equity piece. And then we also have like an unlearn committee where we're working on unlearning these things using like the, I don't know if you've seen the unlearn posters.
Yeah, I have.
So I'm part of that as well. But in terms of like, for example, when it comes to like race and religions, I feel like with that piece, that comes easy for me. I guess you're just constantly learning.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what to expect from your workshop in Camp Kinder this summer and what you are hoping people are going to leave with as they head into the next school year?
So my workshop's going to focus on culturally responsive pedagogy in kindergarten. I feel like it's such a big deal. Like, we need to work on, like, this is a term I learned in school, deconstructing the Eurocentric curriculum, which is what we grew up on. And just really like affirming the identities of the children in our class. And I have 32 kids and it's hard. It's overwhelming for any teacher or an educator. So I feel I want to share different strategies, different things that have worked for me, things that I do in my class. So that way you leave feeling confident and have kind of a pocket full of some strategies that you can go back and implement with your students.
I love that. And what a great way to start the year with that kind of strong foundation for creating this community and this inclusive path forward with your class. I think it'll be really powerful for everyone attending that session.
Yes, I'm really excited.
Me too. Is there anything else you wanted to add to today's episode before we say goodbye for the day?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me.
Oh, I want to say thank you for coming on. This was so great to, I think it's our first time talking in quote unquote real life. So it was
I know we've been like Instagram friends.
Exactly. So it's been nice to, you know, hear your voice and chat in real life. And thank you so much for coming on and trusting us with your story. And I'm just so honored to have been able to talk to you about it today. I'll link everything that you need to connect with Zara in the show notes. So make sure you check that out and you will just be able to find her at Inspiring Growing Minds on Instagram. But again, I'll link it. So again, just thank you so much for joining us and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
So we'll end it here today, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you catch Zara at Camp Kinder this summer. And until next time, have a lovely day. Sparkle and shine.